You know, before I get started with today's sermon, I want to spend a little bit of time in prayer for Palestine, Israel. There's just massive bloodshed going on. As of this morning, I heard that more than 900 people have died, mostly Palestinians, but there's a war going on between the Hamas militants and Israel, between Palestine and Israel, effectively. And so will you join me in a word of prayer? Will you join me in a prayer for peace? Lord, as we think about the violence that has started in Palestine, Israel, we ask for peace in your name. We ask there to be real conversations, real concessions, real acknowledgement of one another. Lord, there's just so much history, so much religion, so much animosity, so much oppression, and so much survival instinct going on, oh Lord. We pray that in midst of this complexity, that somehow you will raise up people to bring peace. You will raise up bold people to actually converse about real things to bring real lasting peace in Palestine and Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks, Vanessa. That was just so entertaining. I didn't know she was so funny. I think you should do maybe think about a career in stand-up or something, you know. So today, you know, this is one of my one of my last three sermons at New City Church, and I've been praying about what to share with you, and I want it to be something personal, something from my heart, and so that's what I'll be doing. For the last three sermons. The sermon today is entitled A Prayer for New City, and I'll be sharing from Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. So if you can open up your Bible, your phone, and join me, because what I'll be doing today is basically going through the passage a verse at a time. And there'll be some structure, but that's what I'll be doing. So I want you to kind of see the flow of the passage as I share. Philippians 1:3-11. I'll be reading from the NIV version. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. So a little bit of a background on this passage. Paul planted a church, this church in Philippi. You hear about that story. It's a beautiful story. If you read the book of Acts, you hear about how he came to plant this church. And now it's a few years later, and he's writing to this church that he planted. We know that he's writing from prison. You saw that right there in the beginning. He's imprisoned. The church in Philippi sent a messenger named Epaphroditus to attend to Paul's needs while he's in prison. But he fell ill and almost died. You hear about it later on in the letter. But recover. And now he's being sent back to Philippi with this letter. So he's carrying this letter as Epaphroditus is going back. So even though my context as planter of New City Church is radically, obviously, different than Paul's context, a lot more dramatic, I'm not in jail, you know. When I read this, though, I so resonated with how he felt and his prayer for the church in Philippi. And so so I wanted to share with you two things. One, how Paul felt about the church in Philippi. And in doing so, I want to share a little bit about how I feel about New City. And secondly, I want to look at Paul's prayer for the church in Philippi. And in so doing, I want to share with you my prayer for you, for New City as well. So first of all, let's look at how Paul felt about the church in Philippi and how I feel at this moment about New City. First of all, I feel thankful and joyful. You know, if you look at verse 1, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, since the beginning of the planting until now. You know, as he looks back to the people in Philippi, he's just filled with gratitude, filled with joy, and he just compels him to pray for them. I'm so thankful for some of you, a group of people who decided to say not to. There's a phrase coming. I'm only thankful for, that is funny. I'm only thankful for some of you. I'm thankful for some of you who decided to say yes in the beginning, because not all of you were here in the beginning. Those are the people I'm talking about. And some of you are still here. Like, I see David, I see Manny, some of the people who decided to say yes in partnership with me in the gospel of Jesus Christ. With a vision of planting a multi-ethnic, multi-socioeconomic church right here in downtown Los Angeles, a vision of church that was inclusive, a vision of church that was centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was pretty crazy because it didn't look like it was going to work. It looked like a pipe dream to plant such a radically different church. But I remember when I was struggling with the idea of multi-ethnic, multi-socioeconomic church, people in Skid Row, people in downtown Lobs, people around the city coming together to worship God and really building a deep community. It just felt like it was very unrealistic. And I remember struggling with that idea. Would it actually work? But I remember the team. I remember folks who have come together, you know, first 10, 15 people say, yeah, it's gonna work. It's God's call. They had so much more faith than I did. I'm so thankful for that group that believed in this God, in this vision that God had given us. I'm so thankful for many nights of fun and fellowship and game nights. I think right from the beginning, you know, I remember doing game nights at our house with people just hanging around with our grown sir group. We still do game nights from every month. And just hanging out, doing Bible studies together, struggling together, sharing together, sharing our lives together, crying together as we were sharing our lives together, rejoicing together when something good happens, celebrating with one another, celebrating one another's birthdays and events and weddings. And so many weddings have taken place in New City, people in New City. I am, this church is, you know, because I, you know, being the planter, this church is responsible for many babies. and the trajectory of those babies, because they would not have come together but for New City. Praise God. Amen. So I'm so thankful for all that has happened. And I'm thankful for so many different ways that I've been taught by you. Because when Grace and I started to do community together with people who are radically different than ourselves and our background and how we grew up, my culture, you know, I find similarities with the Latino culture, but some differences as well. So different, yet as I engage, I learn so much, you know. And as I journey with you, I learn to see things from your perspective. When black men were getting shot, I think if I stayed in a Korean American church, it would have been a sad event that I felt sorry for. But being at New City, it was personal because my brothers were hurt. So the level at which I mourned was tremendously different because I was able to be in community with my black men, my brothers here, and I felt what you felt. I felt, so, you know, just what I learned from you, I'm so thankful because it broadened my heart and broaden my mind to see things, to deconstruct things, to deconstruct the narratives that I was holding on to that may have been racist, and coming to realize that I have some racist tendency in me. I have biases in me that I need to work out, and to actually experience that in loving kindness with one another has been tremendous for me. It's something that would not have happened but for my fellowship with you. I'm so thankful. You know, Grace and I were talking about this. And, you know, Grace grew up in Midwest, in Texas and other parts of America, all over the place. They moved around a lot. And she never felt like she belonged. She said that she, having grown up in an all-white community with only, Korean-American, Asian-American, she just never quite felt like she was home in a community other than her family. And until she said, New City. And for Grace, New City is the first time she felt like she really belonged and people accepted her. And she was home. And so I feel that way too. And I know some of you, many of you, feel that way as well. And so I'm so thankful for the ways in which New City has become a place of belonging. Second thing that Paul felt, is confidence. So the first is just gratitude and joy. Second is confidence. Verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, most of the time, I grew up reading this very personally. God started something in me. He ain't done with me yet. You know, he's going to complete it. Amen. Hallelujah. I have hope. And I think it means that. But actually, in this context, all of the words for you here are plural. And he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church in Philippi. That God who started a good work in you, God, it is God who planted the church in Philippi. It is God who planted this church called New City Church in downtown LA. And he will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. God's not done with us yet. This is the body of Christ. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. So right now, you know, the day of Christ is coming. He has started the work. He planted New City Church. and now we're in process. It's a messy place, this place, the process place. But God is with us. God will carry it on to completion. God has us in on his, you know, he's holding us on in his hands. We are in process. You know, Paul never thought that somehow, because he planted the church, and if you read the story of the planting, it's so dramatic, it's so fun. Yet he never felt like, because I planted this church, I got to stay and, you know, really get this church, you know, I have to be there, otherwise it's going to collapse. He never felt like that. After he planted, after a few months, he left. He empowered people, but he left because he knew that this is the body of Christ. God's got this. You know, he doesn't say, I planted the church. Well, he's the planter, right? But God started the good work in this church, and God will carry it on to completion. God's got this. Yes. I can leave. God's got this, because this is the body of Christ. Body of Christ is his own body. He loves us. He cares for us. So, you know, no need to be anxious about the future. Rest in the Lord. Rest in knowing that God's got us as a community. This is a beautiful community many of us have experienced, and God will continue to carry forward. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. God is up to something great. I believe that. Amen? The third thing that he shares about his feelings, Paul's first, gratitude, second, this confidence, third is affection. If you look at verse 7, it says this, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So you get Paul's feeling right here? He's gushing with feeling how I long for you. You know, it's right for me to feel this way about you. And then he uses the word this, with the affection of Christ Jesus. NRSV translates that as the tender affection of Christ Jesus. So I looked up what that word affection, what that actually means and how it was used at that time. And the word for tender affection actually means intestine. Intestine. You know, the stuff that is inside your body, intestine. Isn't that weird? But it's their metaphor, you know. So yeah. So obviously we have to interpret what that means. How I long for all of you with the intestine of Christ Jesus. It's this guttural, raw, inner feeling is what he's talking about. Then, you know, that was a word that they use, metaphor that they use to show something deep inside that flows out of you. That's how I feel for you. You know, it's not, he's saying it's not like, oh, I know God calls me to love you, even though I really don't want to, but you know I'm going to obey God and love you. It's not talking about that kind of obedience love, and sometimes we have to do that, but he's saying there's something like a just inner affection, tender affection, guttural, raw feeling for all of you. I long for you. But the way he describes it is not him. Did you notice this tender affection of Christ Jesus? That's how Jesus feels about you. He's not up there just going, he's so messy. You're so, he's so frustrating. He could feel that way a little bit. But I think he's just gushing with intestinal affection, inner affection, raw, guttural affection for all of you. Sometimes we don't believe that. We know that he intellectually gave himself for us because he's such a good person. But there's more to it than that. God's love for you is guttural, from the heart, raw, intestinal. God actually likes you with sort of overflowing natural emotions. And that is what Paul is feeling towards the church in Philippi. And that is what I'm feeling towards you. Yeah, I felt that. It wasn't hard to love you. You know, some of you, but not all of you. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I love all of you. Yeah. I think Vanessa influenced my preaching a little bit. It wasn't hard. You know, as we began to walk together, as I got to know you, I think this guttural, raw affection of Christ, I've experienced with many of you as I got to know you. And you've experienced that among one another. You know? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So those are the things that Paul was feeling. So he was feeling gratitude, thankfulness. He was feeling confident about the church. He was feeling affection for the church. And then he goes on to the prayer. He said, this is how I'm feeling about you. And so let's go to verse 9. It's Paul's prayer for the church in Philippi. And this is, you know, my prayer for you as well. First of all, he says, to love much and well. Verse 9 says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Love uses the word agape, which is this self-giving, self-sacrificial love. That love that God so agape us, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That agape love, that agape is kind. I mean, 1 Corinthians, that agape love, kind, patient. That God's love for us that is demonstrated in Jesus Christ may abound. More and more. So do you notice how he's trying to emphasize quantity of love? God's love, may God's love be with you. He doesn't just say that. He says, may God's love abound more and more. So, you know, the commentators who read this passage says, well, there's multiple exclamations, super emphasis on the amount and the quantity of love to be shared. That's what he's praying, that love will overflow in abundance more and more in this community. That is his prayer. And that is my prayer for you, that love will overflow. You know, one of the things that Grace and I learned about love is that love is not a consumable thing. In a sense that, you only have, after you love one a little bit, you run out of love and you can't love anymore. The more you love, the more love you have. This is what I realized. When Grace was talking about when we first had Quill, our firstborn, we loved Quill so much. And then we had our twins. And when she was pregnant, she was thinking, there is no way I can love anyone as much as I love Quill. But we had the twins. And then she said, I realized, there was love in me to love them as much as I love quail, right? So you don't like, you don't get 10 portions of love, and if you spend all 10 on quail, that you got nothing left. The more you open your heart, more God gives to love. Think about it, parents. You all experienced that source of love that came to you, and you didn't even know where it came from. Love can abound more and more. But at the same time, it's interesting. You got to use it up. It's like every day, it's like God gives you this love. And if you don't use it, you waste it, right? Yeah, it's like that day, if you don't use it, you kind of waste it. So every day, live every day like your love, with the responsibility of using that love. I love what Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, but encourage one another or love one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So every day, use up that love, because God's love, you know, more love that you have, more will come. It's, you know, don't be a spendthrift in love. You know, don't budget your love. But at the same time, he says something interesting. He says, love abundantly, more and more. And then he says, and this is my prayer for you, that you may that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Don't you think it's an interesting kind of description of how you're supposed to love? You're supposed to love in knowledge and in depth of insight. Essentially, what Paul is saying is that my prayer for you is that you love a lot, but also well, also appropriately, also with knowledge, also with depth of insight, with information, with knowledge. You know, like he's saying, get to know one another. Don't just theoretically love people. Right? Get to know people. Get to know the situation and the context. Be insightful. Be discerning. You know? Love, because as you get to know one another, you can love in a way that is healthy. It takes knowledge and insight to know how to love well. Know how to love right. Takes wisdom. You know, because sometimes love means, as you journey with them, as you get to know them, it means to stand up with them for justice. That's what love looks like. Because if you're journeying with them and they're being oppressed, how can love not involve standing up with them and fighting for justice alongside of them? And that's why it's so important to journey with people of every life experience. If you don't journey with people who are oppressed, people who feel discriminated or marginalized, you'll never feel the need. You would just intellectually love them. But if you journey with them in knowledge and depth of insight, then how you respond, what you do, is completely different. You know, I can't, mobility has been hard for me for the last few weeks. And so Grace pushes me around in a wheelchair when I go to places. And now I notice, man, why are those ramps, you know, non-existent at point? Like in front of Grand Central Market, did you know that there's no handicap ramp? I never noticed that until I started to walk. You know, it's personal, but I think if I had journeyed with a person who had difficulty with mobility, I would have known that, and I would have said something needed to be done about that. Information, depth of insight, and love. You know, sometimes to love someone means to re-examine your politics. Sometimes to love one another means to love deeply with knowledge and information, means to study the Bible more deeply. You just assume that the Bible says certain things, but you never really did the work of deeply examining what the Bible says. And sometimes to love means that. You know, at New City, we started out as non-affirming, inclusive but non-affirming of LGBTQ. Now we're third way. But that journey started because we started to walk along people who are LGBTQ and learn their life experience and made us question the way we were interpreting the scripture and decided to go deep into the scripture and found that the context of scripture says something very different than what I thought it said, what we thought it says. And then all of you went on a journey together. It's been an incredible journey of learning to love one another better. We lost a lot of people in the journey. But I think we came to a beautiful place of understanding one another. Some of us are still, you know, not affirming. Some of us are affirming, but we all agree that we should fully include and love one another, no matter what. And I think that's a beautiful place that God has brought us to. Because we started to know, we started to love in knowledge and depth of insight. And sometimes love just means, as we get to know one another, just listen. Just listen. You know, I know that some of us have people that never listen to us for some reason. And one of the things that they discover at New City is that we listen. Many of us have that talent. Sometimes I struggle with that. But many of us know how to listen to people, even as they're just gushing out. And I think that's a beautiful thing because that's sometimes how you love. And sometimes love means to challenge, means to create a line and say, no, 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 you can't do that. Sometimes love means to create some boundaries in your life. Love means to create a place of rest for yourself. It means to love yourself and allow yourself to be taken care of. So love well. That's Paul's prayer for the church in Philippi, and that's my prayer for you. Secondly, his prayer is for communal discernment. In verse 10, he says, so that you may be able to discern what is best. So love well, so that you may be able to discern what is best. It's my prayer that you learn to discern the beauty of the gospel. As you know, that's been what my preaching's about, right? The gospel. Gospel of incarnation, Jesus coming. Gospel of atonement, Jesus' death. Gospel of restoration, Jesus' resurrection, ascension, and return. And implication of the life, death, and resurrection and return of Jesus in our lives and for the community. That's been at the heart of my preaching to you. It's not the law I've been preaching. It's about Jesus and the gospel of upside-down kingdom, inside-out kingdom, forward-back kingdom, gospel of grace. I hope all of these things stuck. And I know it did. Recently, I've been, you know, the lead pastor's nomination committee and elders, they've been working on a framework for the new lead pastor search. And just reading that and to go, I think you got it. Just seeing how much you want to center on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So centering in gospel, centering in love, loving well, centering, and as you do this, discerning what is best as community, what is best for the next step. So my prayer is for the lead pastor nomination committee. My prayer is for the elder board. My prayer is for all of you as you seek discernment for the next lead pastor. And next lead pastor is just not that person. It's about the direction of the church and where we're going and submitting yourself to God. And I pray for discernment. I know you're going to do well, but I hope you do the best. And my prayer is that God leads you to discern what is best for this community. And I believe that God will lead, but that my prayer will continue day and night. So first thing was to love well. Pray that you love well. Second is for discernment, communal discernment. Third prayer is for communal spiritual formation. In verse 10 to 11, he says, so you may be able to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Pure here means, you know, sincere, authentic. That's what it means here. Transform to be filled with the fruit of righteousness on the day of Christ. So again, he talks about the day of Christ. That is the day of completion. We won't be completed until the day of Christ when Christ returns. But we are in process now. Things have started. We're in process. Again, it's this messy arena of process before the completion. But it started, right? So we are in the process of being transformed, to be formed in Christ as a community, not only individually, but as a community. What is it to be formed in Christ as a community? So I pray. I pray for transformation of your heart to be loved by God and to love one another well. I pray for those who are struggling, whether they're in here or out there, to find redemption in Christ Jesus. Find a relationship with Jesus Christ that frees them. That this will always be a place where they can find God's love and grace that frees them, that embraces them, that includes them. That this church will be formed and continue to be formed to be a place where people on the margins and people who are not on the margins come together, include one another, and love one another and help one another. That's my prayer. I pray that this church will be formed, continue to be formed, so that those who identify as LGBTQ will find full inclusion and embrace. I pray that this community will continue to be formed, to be a place where people who are struggling with hope can find hope. People who are struggling with loneliness could find a friend. People who are struggling with darkness could find the light of Jesus Christ. People who are struggling with disappointment with church to find hope that church could be different. Church could be loving, not judgmental. I pray that this community will continue to be formed to be a place where people who are sick find healing through prayer, through miracles, through encouragement, through love, to supporting one another, to seek help, whatever is needed. I pray that this community will continue to be a community that is formed to stand with those who are oppressed and fight for justice alongside of those who are oppressed, alongside the immigrants, alongside those who are discriminated, alongside of those who are disempowered, systemically and personally, whatever it may be. That this will always be a place where we fight for justice. Because that's how we love one another. That this will always be a place where we do the work of deconstructing narratives that cause racism inside of us unknowingly, sexism inside of us unknowingly, homophobia inside of us unknowingly, that this will be a safe place to deconstruct those things and learn to love well. Because spiritual formation is not just about your personal holiness. You know, sometimes that's really weird. In evangelicalism, modern evangelicalism, we think of like spiritual formation, discipleship, like being Christ-like as like being holy, and we think of like sexually pure, you know, stuff like that. That's the only thing we think of. But we don't think of the fact that we might be racist. We don't think of the fact that we might be sexist. We don't think of the fact that we might actually have bought into and support the systems that oppress people. But I pray that this will be a community that is spiritually formed to ask those questions continually. That this will be a church that seeks to continue to fight for and empower women in leadership. And that this will be a place, no matter what our socioeconomic status is, whether we have a PhD or just graduated from whatever high school or junior high, that we would honor and uplift one another, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of how much money we have, housing status, that we love and honor one another. Because that is what it means to be formed in Christ as a community. That we live by these ethos, that this DNA continues to carry us. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Let's pray. Let's pray together. You know, I want to give you a chance to just pray about these three things: to love well, to discern well, and to be formed in Christ well. Let's pray, first of all, that this community will be and continue to be a place where we learn to love well. I'm going to give you a moment of, you know, like a minute to pray on your own. Lord, we pray that each and every one of us, for each and every one of us, our love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Let's spend a moment to pray for discernment for this community. Let's pray for Lead Pastor Nomination Committee, Elder Board, and the congregation of this church, each and every one of you, for discernment. Lord, we pray that this church, each and every person in this church, will be able to discern what is best, not only for themselves, but for this community. Let's spend a moment to pray for communal spiritual formation. Formation of this community to be like Christ. Lord, we pray that this church, that each and every person in this church may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.